Knight. We're going to talk to Dr. Henry Nyman this hour. Looking over the headlines, which are just up now, we'll be putting up many more headlines later on this evening. But once again, our fearless leader has reversed himself. Says the CDC, it didn't say anything about him, wants every American to cover their faces when outside with cloth, non-medical cloth. We do remember he said everyone has scarves and wear a scarf. Non-medical cloths. We've watched the 3M, really outrageous issue of selling masks to the highest bidder. We watched that plane this week full of masks heading off to France from China, but guess what? The U.S. stepped in and doubled the offer, and the seller turned his back on the French and sent the plane off, apparently, to here. Trump continues to appear to be a Shakespearean tragedy, a tragic comic character in way over his head, not a clue about where to go, how to lead, what to do. Dr. Faustus today didn't show up at the briefing at the White House. Trump made a quick effort to say, it meant nothing. Don't read anything into it. Didn't mean anything. But behind the scenes, we're hearing that Dr. Anthony Fauci is very adamant about a national lockdown. Trump wants nothing to do with that because he knows that it won't go over too well in the fall election, etc. Fauci said, I don't understand why the entire country isn't under a stay-home lockdown, basically what he said. U.S. hospitals have now adopted a system to decide who will live and who will be left to die because of a shortage of ventilators, most primarily. It goes on. It's all there. It is now fully admitted that aerosols carry the virus. You can walk down an aisle in a supermarket. Nobody's in the aisle, and you can breathe it in, and you can become infected. It can go into your eyes and enter your body that way. It's another possibility. On balance, it's a good idea that everyone does cover up when they go out. Goggles would be even better, but that's probably not going to happen because of a gross lack of supplies, not to mention the gross lack of leadership coming from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Going to go down in history as one of the most botched, bungled, ineffective blunders in terms of policy in modern political history. Welcome back, Henry. How are you tonight?
Well, it's busy.
A lot of news. I know the feeling.
The press conference this evening probably has hit an all-time low. I'll go through that in a few minutes.
And see, Henry's tougher than I am. I can't watch them. I mean, I can't. This one
is probably the hardest of all of them to watch. But
I can't wait. I love your description, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's bad, but you know, it suggests that next week will be worse. So I wanted to actually start with a piece of good news.
What was that? Good news? All right.
Right, which is few and far between. But the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center just published a paper on their efforts to develop a vaccine. And they had success with getting antibodies in mice, and they plan on starting trials in the next month or two. And they were able to do it because they had been working on a vaccine using both the original SARS-CoV as well as the MERS sequences, and had already developed a subunit vaccine where they just take part of the S gene and put it into a vector and then put it into mice to see if they can get an antibody response. And when they saw the current outbreak, they went and produced a subunit for the SARS-CoV-2 and put that into their system and injected mice, and got a similar antibody response. So they are actually going to start a
trial, a nice step.
Month or two. So,
on the other hand, speaking of mice, we have cat community transmission now. I don't know if you saw that story or not.
I saw the scientists were able to infect mice. Cats with the virus. I hadn't seen the community transmission. This is
one cat infected another cat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, humans can infect dogs. That was shown in Hong Kong and a couple of times. And researchers were able to infect cats in the lab, but. It's not a surprise. This virus gets around, and it's already shown to be in a couple species prior to jumping to humans. And the SARS, the original SARS-CoV, was in several different mammalian species, including civet cats and wet markets. So it's is certainly good at mammals, and dogs and cats wouldn't be that big of a surprise in view of the fact that they can do humans and others. So the numbers anyway, before we get to the press briefing this evening, this afternoon, show that things continue to go downhill in the US as well as Europe. I guess a plus is that Italy seems to be bending the curve, and today they had 766 fatalities, which is kind of flattening out. They had gotten as high as 900, and then it had fallen back to 700 or 800, and seems to be maintaining that. So it's been fairly steady between 700 and 800 for the past several days now. Spain has kind of passed them now. Spain had 850 today. They got as high as 900, so they've kind of moved up in the ranks of daily death rates. But France, once again, broke 1,000, so they had 1,120 today. They had a similar number yesterday, so France definitely could have used those masks. They have a serious issue there. And then another European country that's moving up on a regular basis now is the UK. UK had 684 cases, fatalities today.
That's their highest yet,
above 500.
Isn't it?
Yeah. They got above 500 a couple days ago, and now they're up to 684. So all of these numbers were alarming a few weeks ago when Spain, Italy got up to like 475. That was a big deal. And then they got up to 600 something, and then they eventually got up to 900. So now there's several countries in Europe that are regularly 500 or more. Uh-huh. But of course, the U.S. beat them all today. U.S. I'm looking at BNO. BNO has got the U.S. at 1,263 today, as far as deaths are concerned. So we broke 1,000, and we broke it by enough to actually get in front of France, and that's an all-time high for the U.S. They've got them with over 31,000 cases today. And 275,000 overall. So the U.S. will definitely go above 300,000 tomorrow. And that's, another one of these milestones that you really don't like to set. And so,
quick note about masks, Henry, if I might. This goes back to what we were discussing last night Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots football team,
right.
sent the Patriots jet. Yes, he got a plane load of masks and flew them back in the Patriots team jetliner. I'm not sure where he got them, but he got them and brought them back here. And that was an interesting little story. I know you heard it, but anyhow.
Yeah, well frankly, the masks didn't really be that hard. I mean, they're pretty easy to make. And they used to only cost about 70 cents a piece, so they're not even that expensive. They're closer to $7
they shouldn't
now
be.
With the bidding up the prices, so the prices is up. But you know they're not that sophisticated. You know, it would seem that that wouldn't be an issue based upon how much they cost and how easy they are to make. But they are an issue because as I mentioned yesterday, with the numbers going up in Europe. They're in need of the same, you know, PPEs that the U.S. is looking for.
Absolutely.
And so there's competition for this, and it's it's really not looking good on the U.S. side. But I'll get to that in a few minutes. On the U.S. State side. The reason the number of cases is at a record high and the number of deaths are at record highs is because several states are now in this exponential growth phase. And New York hit an all-time high, but it wasn't, you know, dramatically higher than it's been. It was incrementally higher. But New Jersey now has, you know, it was firmly into the second position in the U.S. And they had over 4,000 cases today, 109 deaths. Their total deaths is now up to 646. So, you know, once the state started producing 4,000 a day, I mean, New York's doing 10,000 a day, so. They're kind of getting into that type of range. If they double, you know, 4,000, they'll be up to 8. And 8 is kind of where New York got up to, and they started kind of leveling off, and now they've been around 10,000. Although they're somewhat limited, I think, by how many tests. They actually got the tests up a little bit higher. They're up to 21,000 tests in a day. They had been at 18,000 for a little while there. So they're doing a few more tests, and they, of course, you get more positives doing that. But then other states are up in that range today. Michigan did almost 2,000 today. It's 1953 is what they did. And then Massachusetts did 1,500 today. Pennsylvania did 1,300. Florida did 1260, Illinois did 1200, Louisiana did 1147. And so these states are, you know, putting the numbers up. You know, all of these obviously are over 1,000 in a given day, and some are 2,000, some are 4,000. So next week is going to be a real trial for the healthcare delivery, because it's going to be coming up in all these places at once. And but there are other states that are, you know, just a little bit behind. I mean, there's this one big outbreak in Georgia, and they had they're up to 198 deaths now. We just found, you know, a little under 6,000 cases. And so they're getting ready to break out. There was a funeral in Albany, Georgia. And there are actually two funerals, and that led to a lot of the attendees getting infected. And
when did this funeral happen? This week?
No, this was a couple of weeks ago. They're at the highest per capita rate in I think it's in the world. not just in the U.S. And so they're an example of how things could get very ugly very quickly, because it's a relatively small town. And I think they've got one hospital in town that's almost full. And they did not have any shelter in place until I think yesterday for Georgia. So they've been running rampant all this time, and they just figured out that maybe they should try to slow things down a little bit. And right. So that one's an up and coming that should create another set of problems. Let me see what the number was. The county is Doherty County, and they had 607 cases today. It was 30 deaths today. So that's probably total. They didn't have 30 today, but they've got 30 deaths, and their population isn't that big. Albany's a relatively small town. And so all of these are kind of moving up. There's still several states that don't have any shelter in place rulings, and a couple of them like Florida and Georgia that just decided to do that. They're not even in effect yet. I think one of them doesn't start till Monday. And the other one, I think, maybe starts tomorrow or so. But there are a couple examples why this whole approach to get the country shut down so they have a chance at bending this curve is not going to work very well. And, other countries were able to do it. A couple of states, California and Washington State, seem to have some fairly good initial results anyway. And the U.S. is just, a hodgepodge that, several states put it into effect. They've had it in effect for a couple of weeks now, maybe even a little
This is
longer.
Obviously enraging Dr. Faustus.
Fauci cannot believe that. Yeah. With the projections, you're going to have 100,000 to 200,000 dead if you do that immediately under ideal circumstances.
Right, right.
And that was one of the low
points.
He
doesn't want to be around to wear the collar of 500,000 or 1,000,000 dead. And that may come. That may
right.
come. I hope
right.
not.
And, getting increasingly likely that if it doesn't come in the spring, it'll come in the fall. I mean, if there is a dip and it does start
That's
to go
right.
down,
right.
Then that'll almost certainly indicate that this is going to be seasonal, and the virus will not spread as easily over the summer, but then it'll kind of pick up again in the fall and probably will be even more lethal. And but in any event, just as a little preview on the press conference tonight, one of the questions.
Oh boy, let me get my popcorn. Hold on, this is going to be good. All right. Go ahead.
Okay, one of the questions was, would you consider issuing a nationwide shutdown because you've still got several states that don't have any limitations, and other states have partial limitations.
Right.
And of course, Trump said, "No, it should leave it up to the states that it seems about 90% of the country's already covered, and the other areas where it wasn't enforced, they really weren't that bad. One of which is Missouri, which definitely got some problems, and two of which they just did it 2 days ago, you know, and they're not even in effect yet. And so, you know, he just came out and said, no, not a problem. A million here, a million there, what difference does it make? So in any event, he kind of declined to do that, and Fauci had definitely, you know, expressed astonishment that they're still,
yes,
that we're number one in the world, and we're number one by a wide margin, and that margin gets wider every day. And you know, they come out and said that we're on a curve that's even steeper than Italy. You know, it's not like we're going to become another Italy. We're going to beat Italy. We're going to, you know, have situations, you know, more dire than they already have. And so Trump once again reiterated that, you know, that's something up to the states. You know, he's kind of staying out of this. And, so the press conference was, pretty sad all the way around. It started out by, going over this, change of policy with regard to the public wearing masks. And so.
Cloth. Non-medical cloth.
Right.
Not
right,
masks.
Right.
Be careful about
whatever.
This.
Whatever. Face coverings. Okay. So it started with, Trump reading the announcement. So he said that, you know, the CDC has kind of changed their position, you know, come to the conclusion that if you go outdoors, you should cover your face. And, you know, they didn't recommend you get an official mask because they're in short supplies, and the healthcare workers and first responders and,
right,
and some patients in certain circumstances.
We're in serious, serious.
And so they should, you know, they should make their own. They can make their own at home.
Yeah.
And and so he read that. This is the new policy, the new recommendations by the CDC. And then he immediately said, "But I'm not going to wear one." So he kind of gives a mixed message.
Did you hear Fauci screaming in the background anywhere?
No, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. So Trump says he's not going to wear one. So
well, he doesn't want to mess up his hair. Come on, Henry.
So, of course, one of the first questions from the press is, why don't you want to wear a mask? And he says, in a typical two-year-old response, "No, it's not mandatory, and I don't want to." So after the two-year-old gave his response, then two others tried to bail him out. Okay, one of the head of medical general,
Surgeon
General came up there and kind of gave a little bit of background. He says, "Well, you know, we kind of changed our minds on this, and the reason we did that, originally we thought it wasn't useful for the general public to have masks, but, you know, some of the evidence came out that..."
He just said that three days ago, by the way. Three, four days ago, at the most.
Right.
Yeah.
They said they had, you know, more evidence that there were asymptomatic people that were transmitting the virus. They were shedding virus, and that the main purpose of the mask wasn't so much to protect the wearer from the virus, but it was really to protect other people from the virus. And so, mm-hmm, even a cloth one, since it's more droplet when you're kind of coughing or sneezing, that this will reduce the amount of virus that gets out, and it will reduce how far out the virus will go. And so they're recommending that you wear the mask if you're going somewhere in public and you're going to be within 6 feet of other people, like at a supermarket.
Only took them 3 months to get to the point of making this kind of sort of logical announcement. Cover your mouth. You're sick. You're asymptomatic sick. Cover your mouth.
Well,
3 months.
That's what the argument is. The argument is that you may not even realize you're sick, that you can be asymptomatic and just kind of breathing out can do it. And so
walking, breathing, yes.
This is kind of to protect other people around you, and that's why they switched their recommendation. And so Trump got another question, kind of somewhere along the same lines, as to, well, you know, if this is why you're supposed to be wearing one, why wouldn't you wear one? And and you know, well, it's not mandatory. I don't have to. And so then he got, I'm trying to remember who it was. The head of the CDC, the Redmond, I think.
Redfield.
And then he came up to try to bail Trump out. And he kind of said, well, you know, we kind of changed, you know, the policy. He kind of repeated the same thing. And he said that the main reason was so that people that go out, that even if they're asymptomatic, they wouldn't be infecting others. And so it's really a protection from those that are around them. And then the light bulb finally went on. And Trump came up and says, oh, I took the test and I'm negative, so I don't have to wear the mask. So, you know, that was a logical response. But that would have made a lot more sense if he said that initially as to why he wasn't wearing the mask, because he's already been tested and he's negative and he's been tested twice. And so, you know, in reality, it's not the ideal answer, but it's a better answer than, because I don't want to, because I don't have to. So, in any event,
somebody's got to put a highlights reel together of this stuff.
So that was one that was, you know, pretty much in the comical category or pathetic, whichever one you want. But then the other one was along the lines of what I was talking about yesterday with Jared getting involved and saying it's our reserve is not for the states. And everybody said, oh, what is it for? You know, what do you mean it's not for the states? I mean, it's kind of an emergency reserve, and it's for an emergency and pandemic, our emergency. And this is the pandemic that is going to rival 1918, especially the U.S. I think the U.S. only had about 270,000 deaths in 1918. So we definitely have a shot of beating that. Of course, the population's larger, but we may be able to kind of beat that, even adjusting for population at the rate we're going. But in any event, so he was actually asked about Jared, and that was characterized as a nasty question. And
Hold on. Jerry made his big move to try to move in and take over, right? Which was roundly criticized by a lot of people, even right and left. Right. He is such an opportunist, he's a mini Trump. Did Trump try to defend him by saying that was a rude or nasty question about Jerry?
Yeah, it was nasty. The reporter was female, so females always ask nasty questions.
Oh, yes, nasty.
It was nasty. And he said, well, when he said our reserve, he meant the people of the United States.
He was speaking for the nation, of course. Yes, of course.
And of course, it's kind of like, well, aren't the states what makes up the United States? So if it's for the United States, why wouldn't it be for the state in the country, which have an emergency because their citizens are dying and need things like respirators and our ventilators, and why the healthcare workers need respirators or PPEs, and they're getting affected. That the New York first responders, they've got about, I think the EMTs or something like 4,000 of them, and 1,000 are infected. So they've got a quarter of their EMTs are already affected, infected.
25% of their first responder EMTs are already. Oh no!
Right, right, and it's early.
Two more weeks will be half or two-thirds gone.
It's going to be much worse next week than it is this week, and there's complaints that they really don't have proper PPEs, and there's a high viral load there. They have, people.
Oh, they're picking up people that are just.
One right after the other, and you know the refrigerated trucks are filling up, and they're going and putting these PPEs in warehouses and putting them on the market, for the highest bidder, major. Enrati, or the one who was in charge of Katrina, who kind of came in to kind of get things organized back in the day, was asked, and he was in charge of FEMA at the time, he just can't believe that they're taking these PPEs, and instead of distributing them to the state and determining who needs them, they're distributing it to a third party to put them up for sale.
And
sell them to the highest bidder. So then instead of paying $0.70,
no matter where they are,
they're paying $7.
They don't even stay in the U.S.
And,
God! Did you see the video of the? Hold on. Then there was a video. I've got it up. Nursing staff. These are nurses. They're male nurses, but they're working in an extended care home. They actually are fighting with the nursing home administrator, who is loading up their PPEs in boxes in the back of his personal car to drive them away. He's obviously going to go sell them.
Right, right.
This is astonishing.
It's unfortunate, but not astonishing. So that's kind of the state of affairs. You got this commodity that you can sell for 10 times what it normally sells for, and
he stole the PPEs of his staff.
Right, right.
Incredible.
The long-term care facilities, I think there's 400 of them that are affected now across the country.
And yeah, so I think that's right.
That's getting totally out of control.
Hundreds of healthcare workers in New York, nurses, doctors, are sick now. They're knocked out. Yeah, Henry just said 25% of the EMTs knocked out. I'm just amazed. And Easter is coming up soon. Oh, just a little over a week away, Henry.
Right.
We're going to be back to work, aren't we? Wasn't that the promise?
Well,
I think.
Well, then the low point of today's press conference.
We're not there yet?
No. We're close. We're close. The low point was one of the reporters that asked Trump if he could guarantee that New York would have sufficient ventilators. And his answer was, of course, no, that's not my job. That's the job of the states. They're supposed
Governor
to
Cuomo.
If they didn't go out, I mean, they should have bought all these ventilators like 3 years ago. They should have planned ahead. They should have anticipated a 1918 pandemic, and that we wouldn't come to the rescue, even though that's what we're supposed to do.
Surprised you didn't blame them for not stocking the National Reserve.
That's what the National Reserve was for. And so he said, you know, they're on their own, the governors, you know, I told them they had to go out and find their own in the market. And so he denies any responsibility for anything. And it's just
he gave himself
be,
a 10 for handling this, remember. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah.
A 10.
He gives himself a 10 for everything. So that wasn't a surprise.
Right.
But it's going to be a disaster next week. Next week, I mean, Cuomo said he had 6 days worth of ventilators at the current rate. And so he's going to try to shuffle them around within the state.
Well, the hospitals have already adopted a policy, a triage policy. They're going to decide who lives and dies now. They've got it.
Right. And so that's what it's devolving to next week as far as New York's concerned. And you know, the states that have this exponential growth are going to, you know, have the potential to run into those same types of problems. And then some of these other more rural areas, the southern states in particular, are going to have, they don't have the infrastructure of the bigger cities. And so, you know, like this Albany, Georgia is going to run the risk that they're going to be totally overrun, even though the numbers are significantly smaller, and they're going to have trouble, with personnel as well as equipment, and then they're going to get into that same position with not only is the virus, you know, lethal, but you're going to have people that normally you would be able to save by putting them on a ventilator early, and you're not going to have a ventilator to use. And they're going to be picking who gets one and who doesn't get one. And then it's going to be clear that going to the hospital that doesn't have any ventilators probably isn't even worth going to the hospital. You know, so people dying in their homes because they either don't have beds, they don't have ventilators, or both. And so the situation is going to be dire beginning next week, I think, for New York. But these other areas are not far behind. It kind of depends on how high they can go as far as the surge is concerned. And other scientists were weighing in on, you know, how bad an idea it is to have all these different states kind of doing lockdowns at different times and not coordinating it so that, you know, you might be able to kind of get things under control in New York via the lockdown. And then somebody just comes driving in from, you know, Illinois get it up there from Georgia. they just imposed. I don't know if they've even imposed it. I think it might not start till Monday. So somebody just drives up from Monday to New York and basically is bringing in more virus and leading to more infections and getting things rolling again once they start to get under control because they've been shut down for 3 or 4 weeks and limited.
All right. Here's another angle that we haven't touched on. The societal breakdown of being under national stress is beginning to show here and there. There's a few things. A Florida woman faces felony charges after deliberately coughing in the face, on the face of a paramedic, claiming she had the virus. The woman was in the process of being arrested for assaulting her boyfriend when she sprayed copious amounts of saliva on a paramedic. All right, you've seen stories like these, dear friends, probably in other countries, wherever you are around the world, you've got the same kind of thing. People who are mentally of questionable stature are doing things like this, which suggests to some a zombie-type apocalypse. Now, there is supposedly some scientific clinical data that coronavirus is altering brain function and making some people more aggressive and disoriented. And even CNN anchor Chris Cuomo said that the nights are the worst, that he has nightmares and these horrible visions, and he was going on and on about that the other day. So I don't know if there's a neurological aspect to this that we even need to look at this time, but I'm watching to see what kinds of strange things are going on. And there are more than a few. They're out there. One man lost his ability to speak. Other people say that they've lost sense of smell and taste. These are neurological things. And there's another aspect of this.
Smell and taste is supposed to be fairly common. And,
right.
And people that don't even have symptoms have that. And so that's one of the telltale signs. Is that if you develop that, you can lose the ability to taste even before you develop other symptoms or even in lieu of other symptoms.
Yeah. So, and there was a man who went into the supermarket and began drinking out of soda bottles and putting the caps back on and putting them back on the shelf. This is kind of not just antisocial behavior. It's attempted murder when you think about it. Certainly manslaughter.
Yeah, well the stress levels are going up. Domestic violence.
And that's my point.
Are up.
Just give it another couple weeks and watch what happens. Yeah.
Things aren't going well, and that's why I say these numbers are going up higher. And when you look at the curves, the U.S. just stands out, above and beyond any other country, actually, including Italy and other countries in Europe. This version that's circulating in Europe and in the U.S., more in the East than the West, but spreading to the West now, seems to be more aggressive and harder to control. And warnings were made that, China had very severe conditions as far as getting the virus under control. People were in their homes. They had caravans that drove around and brought them food. And so it was kind of all organized to do that. People weren't allowed to be on the street without wearing masks, and regular masks, not the homemade ones. And they did fever checks all over. If you were driving, they did a fever check. You had a fever, they immediately pulled you out of your car and put you in a fever clinic where you'd be isolated from the rest of the population until your fever was under control. And so they had very strict regulations as far as quarantining and limiting the amount of interaction that people had to get it under control. How long it's going to stay under control is still a little bit at issue. There's some evidence of it trying to.
We may not know if it really is under control to the extent that they'd like us to believe, because I heard today that they've essentially lowered the number of tests being used considerably. And that old trick, don't test, don't tell, that may be part of the issue of putting China back to work.
Right. And that may be part of. There are reports saying that the local officials were keeping the numbers down because, if they reported the real numbers and there'd be repercussions. And so they were underreporting. And this could be the same thing where, you kind of got the numbers down to a level where people are starting to go back to work. And if it turns around that all of a sudden the numbers are going up and they're going up quickly, then, they may try to keep that under wraps and underreported. And that's kind of what they did at the beginning. You know, they arrested people that you know, were blowing the whistle that there was a problem, and they were denying that there was a problem. And so, once you get it under control, it's not clear how long it's going to stay under control. And the virus is pretty aggressive, and so it's going to be something that's very difficult to control. But without cooperation, where you only got part of the state, you know, part of the country is doing it at one level, and another part is doing it at a lower level, and another part of the country isn't doing it at all. And you know, there's free transmission between the various regions. The likelihood that it to be all that successful is low. And part of it is to kind of just keep the level low enough so that you don't overrun the medical delivery system and you don't overwhelm the use of ventilators, and so you have enough ventilators to at least put people on it that can benefit from it. And if you run out of those, then you'll have a lot of people that are dying just because they never had a chance to go on the ventilator.
You can stop right there. They never had a chance.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, the idea is to kind of flatten out the curve somewhat, but it's very difficult to do when it's not a coordinated effort and it's not, you know, that high a level of compliance, and the compliance is quite variable. I mentioned the other day with kind of an overview of the country on the activity. I think it was last weekend or so, and the Northeast was pretty quiet, but the rest of the country, you know, wasn't that quiet at all. It looked kind of almost normal. And I think it might have been on a weekend versus a weekday, but it was clear that the places that had, you know, shelter in place kind of, or stay indoors type of orders weren't really being followed that well. And that kind of gives the idea that if this virus, because if you think back to SARS, with SARS, April really was the month that it really took off. That it kind of was just getting started in March. And then April is when most of the activity was. And then it started to fade a little bit in May, and then it was almost gone by June. So that was kind of the calendar for that outbreak. And then, you know, this outbreak may be fairly similar to that. It kind of started at about the same time. It, you know, went at one level initially, and now it seems to be at a higher level, at least in Europe, in the U.S. And possibly it was that high in China and not really reported, but it didn't really get that bad in other countries outside of China. I mean, Hong Kong never really got that bad. Japan never really got that bad. South Korea didn't even get that bad. I mean, it was initially, but the curves from all of those countries were much flatter than the U.S. Europe. Europe.
Question. What happened to SARS? Did it mutate its way into oblivion? What happened to it? It went away after the second year.
One thing that was different, when it came back, it didn't have that 29 nucleotide deletion. And so that deletion might have made it more virulent. And that mm-hmm. kind of faded away over the summer. But the numbers, you know, we're much, much slower than they are with this virus. And so it kind of made its way into the human population, and there was enough social distancing that was done in China. Everybody had masks, you know, everybody that from outside of China that was going there didn't go there, so there wasn't that much as far as airplane flights in and out, and China didn't have the development that it has now as far as travel is concerned 17 years ago. And so, and then when it came back, it was mostly linked to the wet markets. And they took a real aggressive culling of all the exotic animals and did contact tracing and kind of identified the initial cases. So they were pretty aggressive there, and it got under control, and at least officially it never came back until...
Interesting disappearance. Here's your hospital triage. It is the system is essentially a point system calculating a patient's likelihood to benefit from ICU and ventilator care based on two considerations: saving the most lives and saving the most life years. The lower the patient scores, the higher their prioritization for care. In the system's 8-point scale, the first 4 points illustrate the patient's likelihood to survive hospitalization, and the last 4 points assess whether, assuming they survive, they have medical conditions associated with a life expectancy of less than 1 year or less than 5 years. In the event of a tie, the framework directs doctors to consider life cycle, with priority being given to younger patients. So, this is what's going to be used, and that you'll see that in play here very soon. Very soon.
Yeah, and that's why the fatality rate's going to start to skyrocket.
Yep.
That people are going to die just because they literally never had a chance. And
that's exactly right.
That's kind of where it's evolved to. So
Henry, thank you. Rest up a little bit this weekend. We'll keep working as always, and be back with everyone Monday night. Thanks very much, as always.
Okay. Take care. Have a good weekend. Take care.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, virologist, scientist, and you have a good weekend out there. Seriously, put on a bandana, put on a scarf. Don't be embarrassed. If you're going into a crowded area, remember the stuff hangs in the air. Anything you can put up there that's a barrier between you and hanging micro aerosolized droplets is good. All right? Take care. Talk to you soon.